Make her tell us the location of the rebel base.
Good God, man! I'm a doctor, not a savage! This is a flu shot! Good day, sir!
You will make her...
I said good day, sir!
And now, two guys that have PhDs in bullseyeing womp rats, it's Mos Eisley Radio.
Hello everyone and welcome to another fine episode of Mos Eisley Radio. I am just one of your hosts, Brooks Guthrie. Joining me as usual is the ever-beloved Zach Brown. Zach, what's happening?
Hey, not much. Settling into the new joint.
The new joint.
Not as in marijuana.
I was gonna say, I think you mean new house.
Yeah. Well, yeah, house is probably a better, or it's not a house. Apartment's probably a better word of choice to use for that phrase.
I think you're probably right. So you moved this weekend.
Yes, correct.
Got a new locale.
Who the frack? I forgot to turn off my cell phone.
Oh, that'll get you. That'll get you.
Yep. Anyways, yeah. New place.
New place.
Talking 16 download.
Nice. And
almost 9 upload.
It's pretty hard to beat. Pretty hard to beat.
That's what she said.
Heyo. Yeah. Well, I don't think people want to hear us talk about our internet speeds for forever. So why don't we just go ahead and do this?
This just in, Terrace is under attack by a Sith fleet.
The Sith Empire is now a serious threat for Pace.
As the war presses on, the Mandalorian blockade stands firm.
Citizens and dignitaries are urged to seek shelter as the planetary bombardment continues.
News from the Galactic Republic. Got some new music this week. I'm feeling it. I don't know if you are.
Okay, if you recognize where that music's from... then you're like extra cool in my book. That's all I'm actually gonna say about that.
Well, okay. Anyways, let's moving on. That doesn't make any sense. Here we go. Penny Arcade Expo was this weekend. God,
tons of new information.
So much came out of this. And you know, before we even get into this, I just want to say how excited I am to be a gamer and part of a gaming community and all that kind of stuff. Because I mean, this is just a great time for games. We've got so much going on with Penny Arcade this weekend and stuff like that. And yeah, so let's go ahead and get into
I thought you were like gonna go somewhere with that.
No, I'm really excited, you know? Like
I totally know what you mean, because like when we were watching some of the videos and like press releases for this stuff, like as I'm watching, I'm just like, "Oh my gosh. Like I am really geeked up over this game." And it's been a while since I've really looked at a game, and I'm just like, I can't wait for that to come out. And it's something about it. I don't know if it's just because it's Star Wars or if it's just the fact that this is just, it looks, everything about this game looks just really well designed for the most part or whatnot. But
I think
I'm holding us up.
I think it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to the news here.
Yeah. So we have a couple things, I think, that we want to touch on. First and foremost, Coruscant is now confirmed as a playable planet. And
kind of comes as no surprise.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, however, the thing that was surprising to me, just like how beautiful the planet is.
Oh, it looks gorgeous. And we're going to have a link to the video in the show notes. But man, this looks great. Huge props to the BioWare team for all the work they've done, because Coruscant just looks fantastic.
Yeah, you can tell they're putting a lot of detail not only into just the planet and everything, but it's really capturing the aura of Star Wars, just everything about it, from the sound to just the ships, the way the planet looks. It's got me super excited. And I mean, obviously this is just a planet location and it's nothing like huge, but it's just another one of those things. Like I was saying earlier, they just keep revealing new stuff. And every time they reveal something else, I'm just kind of, instead of me just being like, huh, yeah, that's cool, I'm just like, oh my goodness, I just want to play this like right now.
Well, you said it's just another planet, and I think it's more than that. We have to think about this on another level. So, you know, on the surface, Coruscant looks beautiful. It's this sprawling city-wide or planet-wide city. It's gorgeous. But we're getting into the game just after the sacking of Coruscant and after the Sith Treaty and all this kind of stuff. So while it may look gorgeous on the surface, we know going into it that there's going to be this really deep, dark kind of story going on underneath it. And I think, you know, like the underworld, like we saw in KOTOR, is going to play a big part here with just, you know, the deception and all this kind of stuff. If you're on the Sith side, and then on the Republic side, you know, people trying to band together and make a comeback. And I'm incredibly excited about what this means.
You talking about the deep, dark depths, so to say, of Coruscant kind of reminds me of just some of the old novels that I used to read in Star Wars, where Coruscant is that. It's kind of like this city that's been built on top of a city on top of a city, and then it's like there's these lower parts of Coruscant where there's just it's like really old and no one really uses it. It was built hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago, for that matter, and it's like, even though on the surface everything looks nice and neat, it's kind of like the planet itself kind of represents almost the government in place, to where it's just at its core, everything's kind of rotten and kind of nasty, but it looks pretty on the outside. Which, did you just hear that?
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry about that. It's kind of like the whole politics, I guess, you kind of associate with the Galactic Republic and I guess you say the treachery going on within the whole politics of the Galactic Republic on Coruscant and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of ironic that, I guess you would say, that it would have that sort of a look, even though that's just kind of like sticking to the lore. It's not anything new that they're adding, but I'm, you know.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And, you know, this might sound a little bit cheesy, but I think to a certain degree, Coruscant might also almost represent, you know, BioWare and their dedication to this game. You know, watching all of the Q&As from this weekend and kind of getting, you know, I kind of get this feeling that I'm a little bit closer to the developers and all this kind of stuff. You know, just the amount of work that they've put into this over such an extended period of time, and the amount of layers that are to this game. You know, you can rush through it, you can be a min-maxer and do all you want, or you can sit and you can listen to every last piece of dialogue and, you know, just really get into the story of what's going on with your character and what's going on in the world around you. It's just, I'm super, super jived on this game.
And speaking of characters, the other big thing they came out with during PAX was they released a demo of the Trooper class, which is something we really haven't seen yet. I mean, it was the first class they really announced, and They've showed us some information on it. They've shown us some combat techniques and give us a little bit of a description, but this was the first time we really saw this in action. And wow, that's all I got to say. Like, the Trooper is hardcore to the max. It's what you would expect a Trooper to be like. It's like we've said in the past, the Trooper starts off on Ord Mantell. And that's nothing new. They've stated that here, but they talked about, and they've mentioned this in the past, that it's part of a special squad, and the squad is referred to as Havoc Squad.
This is actually kind of interesting, because I hopped on Wikipedia for a second, and there's no mention of anything about a Havoc Squad in the Old Republic time period. There is something in the Galactic Civil War period based on like some like Republic fighters. So I have a feeling that this is one of those areas that they've taken some liberties with and just kind of created this, just something to note.
And then, okay, the other thing they expressed in this demo were some of the Trooper's abilities, which it really, I guess you'd say, complements the Trooper play style. And it does hit quotations justice to the Trooper class.
Sure.
I mean, one of the first things you see when the Trooper attacks this group of aliens or bandits or whatever is a firebomb, which is just like this grenade he shoots out.
That was,
and it's
so epic.
This fireball coming from the barrel of his gun, and then it just hits the target and explodes, and it's kind of like this mini napalm bomb, I guess you would say. It covers everything within the area in fire, and then immediately he just goes into a burst of, or a barrage of, like laser fire. And just the sound effects, the way the Trooper's stances are, the way he aims his gun, all of the animations with the trooper really excites me, makes it look like that total hardcore military-esque kind of badass guy that, you know, you would watch in a movie or see when you're playing Call of Duty or something like that, and you're just like, oh man, I want to feel like I'm a part of that. It really captures that kind of feel when you're watching these videos with the trooper class. And I don't know what your thoughts are on everything. And I love the thermal detonator, which is kind of like a stick grenade.
Again, watching the Q&As, all the developers, anytime they get asked, you know, like, what's your favorite thing about the game? Or, like, what's your favorite class in the game? They're all like, you know, it's like the most recent thing they played. You know, every time they walk away, they're like, oh, this was my favorite. This is my favorite. Yeah. And, you know, I totally get what they're saying with watching this trooper video, because, you know, watching him, you know, go up and, like, butt, you know, like, jack somebody in the face with the butt of his rifle, and then, you know, like, the firebomb thing, all that kind of stuff, I'm totally stoked on this class, and it may have me convinced to roll one.
the thing I picked up, or I thought of when I was watching the trooper class demo, was I played Tabula Rasa for all of like 2 months,
right?
And it kind of reminded me what Tabula Rasa was trying to be and just failed at completely, and mostly it was just on the polished end of things. The way the trooper looks, just the look, I mean, it doesn't look cheap. They put a lot of detail into the armor. The types of weapons you're going to have. Everything looks authentic.
You know, like everything down to like, everything down to like his little backpack that he was wearing, you know.
Yeah.
Like I sat there and paused it and looked at it for a couple minutes just to go, man, there's so much little bits of detail going on in just the way he looks, not to mention the way he plays and interacts with the world and owns, really.
I had my total I'm a blonde moment, even though I'm not blonde.
Uh-oh.
I'm watching the video on full screen, and like, I'm looking at the trooper, and I'm like, oh, I want to spin the camera around and see it from this angle. I'm like clicking on it, and then I was like, ah, crap, this is stupid YouTube. I was like, that sucked into it, even though it's apparent that it's like a handycam shot. It's not an actual game demo. But
right.
I agree with you. I don't want to like sound like every time I see a new class, it's like, oh, that's what I want to play. But I saw that, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, I want to play that trooper. And it just shows to me, like, they're really doing a great job at distinguishing the differences between all of these classes and making it to where each class doesn't look like it's a copy of the next thing. A lot of people said that the trooper was going to be kind of a mirror of the bounty hunter. But, I mean, watching the two play styles and the way they look and they move and things like that, they have similarities, but I don't picture them as being the like clones of each other.
Right.
You know, they're doing a really good job of making them both very distinctive from each other, and I really appreciate that. And because of that, it makes me want to play each class. You know, it's not like, oh, this is just going to be like this. I really can see differences in all of these classes, even though in theory they're all very similar.
Yeah, and that's actually a really interesting concept that kind of fits more into the rumor mill. But there've been a lot of people talking about how, you know, each class is going to kind of have a mirror, and you know, this is a perfect, or each not race, one of my faction, excuse me, I'm an idiot. Each faction is going to have some kind of mirror, and this is a perfect example of how might necessarily not be a mirror, but like, you know, something very, very similar yet entirely different. You know, like the bounty hunter and the trooper both have kind of heavier armor. You know, they both have kind of like fiery effects. They throw stuff and it blows up. But when you look at it and you really get down to it, their play styles are completely different. And that's something that's very exciting for me and has led a number of people to kind of start guessing what the other classes we're gonna have are. You know, obviously we're gonna have a Jedi, but
something since we've recorded the last time that they have announced in episode 4 we did a breakdown of what the actual demo was that they released on IGN, and in that demo they had the Sith Warrior. They've came out since then and actually announced and said the Sith Warrior is a class,
right?
Which was kind of interesting because basically that kind of squashes my whole theory of maybe the Jedi class is something you unlock over time. So we know that it's going to be a playable class from day one. The other thing is the fact that it is called Sith Warrior, like they said. It still kind of hints at the idea that there could be another type of Jedi in the mix. I know we had a listener email us in and talk about the old class system when you played KOTOR originally, how you chose from a Sentinel or a Counselor or a Guardian, that they might go down that route to where they might have one be more of a about combat and lightsaber handling versus another type of Jedi that might be more about force powers and buffs and things like that, to where they're both Jedi, but one focuses more on this and one focuses more on that. I don't know. Right. We'll have to see as time goes on what they're going to do with that, but that's also kind of new since the last time we recorded.
Right, right. And so the other two things that we had from PAX were a hint or small glimpse of the death system. These demos are actually played in real time by developers. And so this trooper got into a little bit more than he could handle and ended up dying. And obviously they have like the developer insta-res, but they also had the option that said return to med center. And I listened to the day 3 Q&A, and someone asked them to that, and you know, of course the answer is, you know, we're playing around with certain things, we have a death system, it's not entirely elaborate, it's fairly straightforward, but it's not finalized, and we want to get something that has the right feel for the game and stuff like that. So
that kind of reminds me of City of Heroes, where when you right. died in that game, you returned back to a hospital bay, uh-huh. and it gave you some type of debt. I'm not saying that you're going to acquire this debt in this game, but it kind of reminds me of that, where you die, there's a checkpoint, and you return to that. You know, I'm not too familiar with Star Wars Galaxies, and I know we have a lot of listeners that play Star Wars Galaxies currently or have in the past. Maybe we could have some people send us in some emails and let us know how the death systems work currently right. and how they might have in the past in that game, because they could look to something along the lines of that just to tie similarities between the two games.
Yeah. And then the last thing, which actually came from, I think it was the second day, developer Q&A, someone had asked them about the phasing system that has, it really took ground with World of Warcraft, but, I guess it's been around for quite a while. And they said that, you know, they're very aware of the technology and, they do plan on using it to a certain degree, especially in your personal story. So, you know, say you're questing along as a bounty hunter or something, and, you know, you need to see something in the world, but like maybe in a different time period or something along those lines. They're going to take advantage of that technology that allows you to, seamlessly kind of move in between the current world and maybe a past time or something along yeah. those lines, which is pretty exciting that they've, you know, they've said a number of times that we're very aware of the rest of the MMO world and what people are doing. And, you know, it's just another confirmation that these guys really do know what they're doing. They're paying attention. And, you know, if you're a huge fan of phasing, which a lot of people are, they think it's pretty cool. That's good news, I guess. So yeah, phasing, PAX, all this stuff is super cool. I'm super ridiculous. I feel like I'm a giant ass broken record about how excited I really am about this game. But you know, like I just recently started playing WoW again to kind of get myself into the mood, because I hadn't really played a whole lot of games in the recent months. And you know, while I do enjoy that, you know, I'm just ready for a new, different experience. You know, between that and WoW's expansion pack that's coming up, that has me stoked, and you know, all these other games that are coming out, I couldn't be more excited about gaming right now. And with that, I think we should go here.
I heard a new ship from the Outer Rim just landed in Docking Bay 94. I wonder what kind of stories they have.
You have no idea.
Stories from the Outer Rim. We had a couple cool, interesting things to talk about this week. You know, we got an email from a listener who I believe goes by Synergy, asking us about player housing, and you know, had some comments on player housing. So I took a look into this, and I think especially at this point in the development cycle, there's one thing that we need to keep in mind, and that the developers have said a number of times, is that you know, this is going to be a AAA title. They realize that everything that goes into a AAA title, they're putting a lot of emphasis on what makes their game unique. But I have this clip just to keep us all rest assured.
Other questions. Will there be player versus player combat?
Yes.
Will there be an auction house, in-game trading, economy, crafting, harvesting?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Will there be all the social features we would expect from a fully featured MMO?
Yes, everything you expect from a AAA MMO is going to be in the game.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Now that all our hearts are at ease about all the basic features. One of the interesting things that's actually kind of a toss-up between different MMOs is this concept of player housing. You know, there have been a couple of little house renders floating around and stuff like that. They've got people excited. There's a number of different theories about what how they could kind of implement it in the game.
There was also a press release, was there, or an article, but it was in German. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
I don't actually know.
That was kind of talking maybe. About this.
I mean, I they did say at I believe it was at Gamescom, kind of in passing, something about housing. But it was literally in passing, and they did not say anything beyond just the word housing, really. So, I mean, to understand how they're going to work, how they would maybe work in this game, you know, it's kind of important to take a look at how a couple of the other games, big games, have done housing. So the two that I could think of off the top of my head were Star Wars Galaxies and Lord of the Rings Online. And they both take kind of different approaches at it. So, so Galaxies has this kind of open world concept. You know, you have these player cities that are part of the world and, you know, you can buy a house, put it on a lot, and that would seem pretty simple, but there's actually I'll put a link to the Star Wars Galaxies wiki. There's like you know, you have to have, you can only put certain house types on certain planets, you have to pay taxes, you have to pay hourly utilities,
it's intense.
You have to vote for mayor every 3 weeks.
Well, that doesn't necessarily, I don't think that has to do with just the housing.
Well, no, like, it's part of the thing.
It's more of if you're a citizen of a town, because I think I remember playing a long time ago for like when I had like my week period that I tried Star Wars Galaxies, running around, and I found like a house in the middle of nowhere, and I went inside because I could.
Yeah, I think you can do
that. I couldn't touch anything, but it was just a player home, and they had stuff laying around. It was in the middle of nowhere. So I don't know how that technically worked within the game, but yeah, it is definitely doable to where you can have it set up in the open world, which I'm kind of a fan of, personally. Really? I like the idea that like I create something and it impacts the rest of the world. I really like the idea of being able to express customization, or have customization express like whatever you'd want. Create some sort of social establishment, and that would impact the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I'm kind of not a, personally, I'm not a big fan of, I think, where you're going to go with Lord of the Rings Online, where it's kind of an instant-styled house.
Yeah.
To where you go through a doorway.
Sort of, yeah. The way it works in Lord of the Rings Online is there's these four racially styled homesteads. So there's one styled around men, hobbits, dwarves, and elves. And these kind of appear in the world as like this own little kind of thing. And then you go into an instance. There's specifically to Lotril, there's 250 instance neighborhoods per homestead. And then within each neighborhood is like 30 homes, 4 kinship, which is like a guild houses, 10 deluxe personal homes, 16 stand, you know, this is all these details. I'm kind of more a fan of this because I feel like it doesn't clutter the world. You know, I have this really dark, depressing view of how most gamers are, and I don't really want to be walking around my old Republic experience and having this just stupid looking house in the middle of nowhere.
Well,
and
I can understand what you're saying. You don't want to be a part of walking through a landscape that has been well crafted and designed, and the final product looks good, only to have a player just kind of go, I'm going to stick this house right here in the middle of this, which kind of throws everything off. I mean, I can agree with you. That can really wreck what not only good level design, but just like, it can just wreck the atmosphere and everything in general. But I feel like if you're going to have open world housing to where you build something and it's going to impact the way the planet is, they need to designate specific areas where you can do that. So that way, you know, going into it, this is kind of, this zone is, this specific part of the zone is for player housing. Like I was saying, I just feel like if they're going to put it in the game and they're going to make it to where it impacts the world around them, just for the level designs and keeping track of everything, that they should choreograph or designate specific areas or specific zones. They would have to make the zones fairly big to allow this, so they could rope off a certain area. But I feel like that would be the best way to go about it, because I do think that that could potentially be something different that I haven't seen personally. I know it's existed in MMOs, but just the whole social concept and the whole social network, which is the reason why a lot of people play MMOs, is just because they like the social interaction with the game. It's, you know, it's not because they love RPGs. That might be one thing about it, or it might be because they like Star Wars or anything like that. But a lot of people just like the whole online experience of you interacting with other people. And I feel like that's like the best way to do that. It's kind of like to put your mark on the world, you know, to where you can express yourself fully. That's just my thoughts. I don't know how
you feel. We actually did throw a poll up on the site, and huge thanks to anyone who voted in it. And you know, they were actually basically like us, pretty much split down the middle. You know, so we had 14 votes for yes, instance housing is the best option. 13 for open world housing is the way to go. And then we actually had 4 people who said, no way, housing is just vanity and doesn't serve any purpose. And that's actually an interesting discussion to have, you know, because just, you know, there is the social interaction aspect of it, and there is this place where you get to hang all your stuff. But really, beyond like immersion, it doesn't serve a whole lot of purpose. And some people would make the argument that that's just attracting developers from working on another part of the game. And I kind of see their argument to a certain degree. Am I going to run out and get a house the very first opportunity I have? Probably not. It's not that really big of a thing for me. If the option's there, sure, why not? But it's not right at the top of my list.
Well, you know, I can understand that argument, especially to the more hardcore player that doesn't really care about that kind of stuff. I think that's the one thing a lot of people have to learn, though, about MMOs is they're so big and vast that there's not one specific component of the game that is going to connect with each. That everyone's just going to be 100% hardcore for it. It's like, I mean, I enjoy PvP, and the idea of it on paper sounds fantastic. But when it comes to PvP, I'm not like that big into it. It doesn't do a whole lot to me or a whole lot for me. But because of that, I recognize that PvP is very important, not only for the community and everything, but just it adds more to the final product that you can do, and it makes it just a bigger universe in general. I recognize that, and so I'm okay with the developers taking time away from doing what I would want, and that is focusing on PvE content or instance style content, or as they call it in flashpoints in this game. I'd rather have them, I'd rather have all that kind of stuff, but the other stuff, like the little things that's just different from what you normally do, is what adds to the game. And eventually, over time, I'm hoping that it spawns innovation and allows for new ideas to where you're not just doing the same thing over and over and over again. We want our games to evolve past how they were from EverQuest 1. We don't want everything to be just the same thing with better graphics and just bigger stuff. We want there to be new things to do. And I feel like the whole social network within the game is very key in the MMO world, just because that's what it's all based around. You're playing this game with thousands of other people. So I feel like they need to do more to allow these thousands of other people to be able to interact with each other more, other than just, hey, you want a party? Yeah, that sounds good. Let's go do that. And then afterwards, that's it. You know,
you mentioned something along the lines of innovation and, you know, how whether, you know, you may not like player housing or you may not like how they implement PvP, which I'm sure we'll probably love. But, you know, even if you don't, it sparks innovation. And I heard an interesting quote. I have no idea where it came from. It was something along the lines of, you know, companies like Blizzard and BioWare are going to probably have successful MMOs because they're not an MMO company. You know, you look at the people who made Warhammer, the people who've made EverQuest and games, you know.
It's basically, you know, Microsoft. Yeah, you know,
when they come at a new MMO, they're like, oh, here's all the things that they've done in the past. And they can make all these promises that, you know, we're going to learn from things we've done. But, you know, if you're an MMO company making a new MMO, you know, you're going to do the same thing you've done before. And, you know, with a company like BioWare, and you know, Blizzard is a perfect example of this, you know, they get the single player look at it and can come with fresh minds and a fresh outlook. Even if you have people who've done stuff in the past, you know, you're all coming together in this new team to do different things. And that's, yeah, that's exciting.
And like I was, making the Microsoft comparison too, the fact that these two huge developers have a lot of money to throw around, they can look at what works even on the smaller scale MMOs and what's popular, and they can spend more money because they're a bigger company on R&D and things like that, you know, to add more to the game. So I feel like what I was saying, like with Microsoft, there's a lot of people that say they just take other products that people develop and kind of repackage them and give them a nice look to where people want to buy it. And, you know, that might be the extent of what they're going to do with this game, but I don't necessarily think that's entirely bad. So, I mean, the player housing could be just something that's rehashed that we've seen. It might not be something new, but I think what they're going to do is look at what works, what people like in the past, and what, you know, is not going to take away from the game and run with that. And, you know, something tells me that the big thing that they are doing that's going to be drastically different is the voice work in this game. And outside of that, I kind of feel like they're going to just take a lot of what's already been established in an MMO, and you know, that's what's going to be new or different. I don't really, I guess, see them doing something crazy new for housing. But
yeah, you mentioning Microsoft and throwing money around and voiceover. We talked briefly about a localization to French and German. Yeah, German last episode. And in one of the Q&As, they did confirm that the actual game, the voiceover in the game, is localized to French and German.
That's nuts.
I know, that's so much work.
That is. I mean, props to them for doing that. Absolutely. And MMOs are, it's no secret, they're huge in Europe. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
They love MMOs over there. So I think that's good to see them take an extra step. Hopefully it pays off in the long run for them.
Yeah.
So another thing that was hit on, I believe, in one of the panel discussions this weekend was morality.
Yeah, we've had a number of questions, and we talked on the forums about it and stuff like that. A lot of people have been asking, you know, why would I want to make light side choices if I was a Sith warrior? And so the example that the developers have been using a whole lot is this, obviously, this demo that we've seen where you have to make the decision whether or not to kill the captain
or Spear's line.
Right. And so they come at it from an approach of, you're on the Sith side. And, you know, you can either be a total jerk and make all your dark side choices and, you know, come up and do your own thing and say, screw everyone else who's involved with the Sith. Or you can take kind of this logic. I'm on this side. You know, I love the Empire. I'm going to build up the Empire's strength with a lot of people and make quote unquote light side decisions. So a Sith warrior making the decision not to kill the captain at that point isn't necessarily a Jedi decision. It's more along the lines of, man, this guy's probably knows what he's doing. He can get us through this thing. And, you know, maybe after we're over, then I'll dispense some judgment and say, hey, you're a moron, I'm going to kill you, and still do that later on the road. But, you know, in this specific situation, even though you may be getting quote unquote, like I've said a number of times, light side points, you're not making a Jedi decision.
So, I mean, it pretty much leads to one of two things. You can either A, have choices that's going to impact your morality, or B, you just have choices. And they could be both in the game. I mean, not every choice you make might impact the morality, or it might, you just don't know. And that's kind of the beauty of it. Maybe being in disguise is you're not playing to cater to what you want your morality to be. You make the choice, and it might affect it, it might not. Because a lot of times I find in games that I play that have a morality system, I know ahead of time if I want to be good or bad. And so when it comes to the moment to make a choice, I'm not playing it as I naturally would. I'm playing it the path I choose is the one that's going to lead towards the direction I'm going. So if I'm trying to be full-blown good, I'm going to do everything, regardless of what I naturally might do. I'm going to do everything that I right. think is going to lead me to the light side. So by them throwing in these choices that don't really matter and actually impact the final result, making it potentially difficult or more difficult, it really makes it to where you've just got to make a choice, and your overall choice, it could reflect morality or might not, which I like. It doesn't mean you're necessarily picking stuff just to be evil.
Well, they have said there's a couple things to answer here. They have said that these big side changing choices are going to be very obvious as to what choice you're making and what that result is going to be. Daniel Dickinson, I think, is one of the developers. And he said, we're not going to put this ice cream cart in a level and, have it not be very obvious as to what's going on. And then because you didn't interact with it later on, it's going to blow up and kill 400 babies. They're not going to trick you into what choices you're making. But at the same time, you're also not going to be completely polar to one side. There's a lot of decisions going along with degrees to a certain extent of light or darkness. And, within that, it's going to be, a lot of different shades of gray, and there,
which is what we want, exactly. Because that's realistically how everyone thinks and how everyone acts. You're not going to see people that's just going completely to the right or completely to the left. It's just, there's a situation. Most of the time people are going to react. And afterwards, after it's done and over with, you realize, looking back, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do at the time, or maybe it was. And the people that can look ahead and determine what, there are people that can look ahead and go, this is clearly the bad thing to do, and so I'm not going to do it. Or the person can look ahead and go, I'm going to take advantage of this moment and do something that would be evil in this choice. And so I feel like, for them to, I guess what I'm saying, and I'm hoping that they still can put something in the game like this, is I get sick of playing these games with morality trees, and it's always just like you always doing one or the other, and it's clearly obvious, and the only reason why you're doing the one is not for the story,
right?
Not because it's just your natural reaction to it. It's just you want to be good and you want your bar to be fully good, and that's the only reason why you're taking the good choice. And so I really hope they sit down and look at that and find a way to make it to where that's like the last reason why you're picking your decision.
Yeah. And there obviously are going to be players who do that. They go through the game saying, oh, this is the light side thing, I'm going to choose this because it's a light side thing. But they realize that there are people who do want to get super into the story at hand, and they're going to allow them to do, take whatever path that they want and end up at the end of the day with maybe a slightly more gray character than if you were just saying pick A, pick B, and one of them's going to tend you directly to, your sweet Jedi robes or something.
Well, not to beat this topic into a dead horse.
Right.
So I think we're going to move on. And yeah, the next thing we want to discuss is a possible new class idea based upon the last Holocron video that was released.
Yes. Yeah, so the argument here is that right before the Smuggler class was introduced on the website, we had the Holo Record about the Mandalorian. What am I thinking of? Blockade.
We've got the new Mandalore coming back.
Yeah, and the Blockade and the Smugglers getting together to come in and break it up. And so this most recent one that they just added to the site this week talked about, the Sith taking different tactics to get their things done, and, possibly using agents to, how kind of the new Mandalore was actually just a pawn in their game and something kind of made up. So we've also seen in a number of videos before of a class that's using cover, but is clearly not a smuggler. And so the kind of rumor mill is buzzing around that very soon we're going to see something along the lines of a Sith infiltrator, someone who uses cover and possibly a lot of deceptive techniques with like stuns.
Some type of
stealth
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all, especially when you look at the whole cover system they put in and how we talked about last week. It's not just a simple you hide behind this block and that's all the cover system is they have specific abilities for the smuggler when you're in and out of cover. And the way you would fight in combat is completely different when you're in cover versus when you're out of cover. And for them to create something that's that advanced, I don't see them just squandering it on one class not and that's all. It for one specific side. So I would not be surprised to see in this infiltrator class kind of makes sense as a something that would use cover, that would hide, mm-hmm. and you know the abilities would change depending on what you're doing or what the situation is. So I would not be surprised at all to see them take that idea and apply it to something else. And this seems like the logical class or idea for a class that they would use that for.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you could see like into the future and, you know, kind of try to guess at what this character's storyline would be, do you have any ideas or what you would at least like to see of a class like this, what their personal story would be?
It could be a lot of things. It could be kind of like, I don't think it would be along the lines of a bounty hunter, but depending on how the Sith army works or the ranking, or even it could fall in the line along the lines of like the Mandalorians, I could see it being kind of a role. This just speculating, of course, but as like an outcast, and maybe you were once an infiltrator and got kicked out, and you're trying to work your way back in by providing information to the Sith on the Galactic Republic. Maybe something happened to where you're crossing over to where you start off where you're in the Galactic Republic, but you are for the Sith. And as the story progresses, you find more and more information and, you know, relay that back over.
Right.
And, you know, things happen to where you've got to protect maybe your identity. I could see them doing something like that with the story potentially. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different directions they can go, but those two seem the most likely off the top of my head.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on either of those. Those both sound very interesting and obviously could lead to some very compelling storylines down the road. I guess like the only other thing, which would be the very obvious choice, would be, you know, you're just kind of like this person in the Sith army who all of a sudden gets asked to go do this thing.
To go
undercover, and then that kind of spawns your story. Both of yours were much more creative than mine. And well,
I kind of feel like if they are going to use this as a class, just say infiltrator. I mean, this is all speculation. If they were going to run with that idea, it would only make sense for them. It would be a great story to be on the other side of enemy lines and playing an undercover role in terms of story. Obviously, you're not. You couldn't make it in the MMO world to where you looked like you were a Galactic Republic member and you were in the same zones as them and hanging out with them and stuff. But your story would have that kind of an impact,
mm-hmm.
where you would feel like you were really a double agent maybe or something along the lines, or just an agent.
Yeah. So again, this is of course all just speculation, but you know, there is maybe some evidence to back it up. Very cool. I'm assuming, you know, they've said that post all of the expos and cons and stuff like that, they're going to start rolling out more significant news at a more consistent rate. You know, a lot of people have been unhappy with the Fan Fridays for the past couple of weeks. And, mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more bigger stuff at a regular pace. And possibly, you know, once we get all the classes out, some of the more traditional MMO aspects that people have been wondering about, you know, PvP, death system, auctions, all that kind of stuff.
Well, that kind of stuff is all old news.
Of course.
And it's kind of like...
But people do people do wonder how it's going to be implemented specifically here.
Oh, definitely.
And so...
And I'm sure they don't even know for some of the stuff.
Exactly.
But I'm saying, like, that stuff isn't new to me. So, like, I can understand why that's not the thing that they're really talking about right now, just because... If they come out like, we got a Star Wars MMO and it's just like every other MMO you've played, but it's Star Wars, that's boring. You know,
right.
People don't care about that. And that's not exciting. There's nothing new about that. So I can see why they're holding off on that other, because it's like when you played the video clip earlier about during the player housing comment, it's like, okay, we've just shown you all of this sweet stuff. And then now add all of these other things on top of it, everything that's in a AAA title. And it's like, when he tells me that, I'm like,
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm about to explode with excitement.
Yeah, you know, that's usually their almost appendage, if you will, to, you know, during these Q&A sessions, everyone asks them a whole slew of questions that of course they can't answer. And, you know, the stock answer of we're not talking about that right now, but, you know, this is a huge title and you should expect the normal AAA title MMO aspects. So that being said, let's go ahead and move on to the listener questions. I think we've got three-ish this week. Yeah.
Three or four.
Yeah. And the first one comes from Sir Desmond, who thank you again for questions. He's a beast of questions, and we appreciate that.
Pretty consistent.
Too. Yeah, exactly. So he asked us, do you think the Old Republic will have character customization to the level of Champions Online or Star Trek Online? And this question was actually asked during one of the Q&A sessions, and I grabbed the developer answer from that. So we'll go ahead and play that for you now. We can discuss it on the other side.
I think, you know, we understand the importance of customization, and I think you can rest assured that we're putting a lot into that. I think customization is definitely something that we're looking to push as far as we can. And I would say it's probably still under sort of that push and prod phase to see where it's at. So details, not really, but I think you can rest assured that we totally want to do cool customization. I mean, you know, we know that exists out there and people love it. So
again, obviously kind of a generic answer, but I heard the next day someone asked about like sliders or predefined options. And the bottom line is it's something that they're very, very concerned about, because you know so much of the game and so much of the cutscenes are spent being up close on your character, and they want to make your experience for those very unique. And
well, and the one thing, you know, and obviously this isn't going to happen because of money and time restraints, but the one downfall of them doing all this voice work is no matter what the customization is in terms of appearance, everyone is going to sound the same, which I can understand. You know, that I'm okay with that to a point, because I understand they don't have the time to go out and record all this dialogue over and over and over again in different with different voices. But definitely when it comes to the MMO world, I think that's one of the biggest things that people look for when coming to a game, because they want to be able to express themselves uniquely amongst everyone else that's playing the game. And they want to be able to set themselves apart and things like that. And in fact, my biggest knock against World of Warcraft, as much as I played it, is I feel like there's poor character customization in that game. When it comes to what you look like, your size, the armor sets that you wear, everything looks pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand, like, for instance, Star Wars, a lot of the armor sets are going to be the same throughout, and that wouldn't make sense if they weren't like that. Like, for instance, the trooper are all going to fairly look the same, just because your iconic trooper looks the same across the board. Same with the light Jedi. They have their robes and things like that. Now, putting that aside, they haven't mentioned yet if races is going to be something that's going to play into this game, and I kind of feel like it probably isn't.
They have basically in one language or another said that humans are not going to be the only playable race. There wasn't an interview with, I think it was Sean Dahlberg, who's who's the head CM, community managers, mm-hmm. and they asked him. I wish I'd grabbed all these clips, but they asked him, you know, what are you going to play? And he's like, I'm going to play a species, not a human. Yeah. So,
well, I guess what I was getting at is just, you know, people want customization and they recognize that, and they're going to do their best to add as much as they can. And, you know, there's basically nothing more you can say other than they recognize it. They know people want it, and they're going to do the best they can to add as much as they can.
Yeah.
And I hope they do.
Yeah.
Because I agree. I want that customization. I don't want to look like I'm everyone else in the game. I want to have a unique role as much as possible. And yeah.
Yeah. I think, and to wrap that up, Dallas, I said his name wrong earlier. It's Dallas Dickinson. It was one of the devs. you said, you know, there's a number of MMOs out there where you can either spend a whole lot of time or no time making your character, but once you get into the game, you never see them anyways. You know, like with World of Warcraft, even, you know, they've introduced more options, but even then, you know, once you get into the game, you don't really notice what your skin color is or your hair is unless you turn your helmet off, you know? So there's all these options. But what he was saying was, you know, I want those to matter. I want those decisions that I make early on about how my character looks to actually matter and then see that once I'm in the game. So that's that. Tony Sama 22 asked, the finishing moves in some of the videos, will those come from talent trees or trainers? We don't,
I think,
really
at this point
know,
in the game.
But yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, at this point in the game, they haven't really expressed anything about a talent tree. So, to be honest, we really can't answer this.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that we don't know.
I think they've hinted at the concept of talent trees or, you know, some certain level of customization. And they've also hinted at your light or dark side choices influencing some of the abilities that you're going to get. But they haven't really mentioned if there's going to be trainers that you're learning abilities from. Or how
you acquire these new abilities. Yeah,
exactly. So while we can speculate, and I would personally imagine it's going to be a combination of talent trees, which open up depending on your light or dark side choices, mm-hmm. and trainers.
And you saying light or dark side, I think your morality will have way into the final abilities you get at some point in the game. So, and that would make sense only for finishers. So it's kind of like, I don't know necessarily like a finisher, but more of like an ability. If you're more of a dark side player and your morality leans to the dark side, you're going to have access to certain type of abilities that you would not have if you were playing on the light side.
That was actually, so one of the things I forgot to mention earlier, actually, in the Trooper video is we saw a similar system to that of the Sith, I think, where you're kind of building up points and then spending them. He had that same yellow bar that we saw on the Sith. So again, just kind of one of those very specific things that's kind of interesting to note. But again, as we hear more about this, and I would imagine that in the coming months, we're going to hear a lot of these kinds of things released on the site. We will definitely be discussing them in depth.
Agreed.
And then our last question came from NPX Dino, who actually asked a question like 2 weeks ago. So thanks again for that. He said the landscape was beautiful in the demos. How high are your expectations for that sexiness? And I think the only answer for me, at least, is to go watch this video of Coruscant. There's not like an official video up on the Old Republic site, but we'll link to like the capture from in the audience, but God, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous. I completely agree. And it shows to me, at least everything we've seen so far, I haven't been disappointed with. So, I expect all of them to be like this pretty much at this point. Yeah. Sometimes you kind of wonder, are some of the earlier zones and mid specific zones, do they put more detail in? And
yeah, I mean, I thought
not as much in others, but I feel like every zone that they've showed so far in this game has just been with detail. Everything makes sense. They don't add stuff that shouldn't be in it. They don't take away stuff that should be in it. So I couldn't be happier with the environments at this point. And they all look
great.
Like stylized even, drama that they.
Yeah, even with like the Ord Mantell video with the trooper, like I was like, man, I want to hang out there and shoot some guys. Yeah. You know, they had walkers sitting around and stuff like that. And I'm just like, man, this game looks great.
Yeah,
absolutely great. And, you know, I think that's to top off the whole episode. That's basically the thing that we can take away from PAX is, you know, what we've been talking about for so long is, you know, BioWare is just putting gobs and gobs of great work into this game, and it's gonna look great, it's gonna play awesome, and you know, we can sit here and worry about the details, but at the end of the day, I'm just excited to be able to play this game.
Yeah, I'm not at all freaked out at this point about anything not being good with the game. I mean, worst case scenario in my book, I blow through. I have 8 storylines to blow through with friends, and that's it. And even then, that's fun to me. But I know they're going to have so much more to the game than just that. So yeah, I agree with you completely. I'm just at this point. I'm just kind of like sitting back, waiting for news to get here, and just can't wait to hear the next thing. And speaking of news, we've had several people ask us, you know, when we will be releasing episodes, how often, things like that. Just to, I guess, go on general record, we don't have a specific set date as to when we're going to release things. We kind of tend to just wait for enough news to acquire to where we feel like we can put out an episode and we have enough to talk about for a decent amount of time. We could put something out more consistently, probably, or even weekly for that matter. But, you know, at the end of the day, we feel like it just wouldn't make sense for us for what we're wanting to do just to kind of put out a weekly episode with very little to talk about. So I think if you look in the Star Wars news in general and you see that there's a lot of new stuff coming around or being announced, chances are we'll probably come out with something and give you thoughts on it. But if news is pretty slow, we'll probably just sit back and chill for a little bit until we can acquire some more information or things like that. Just because up until the game comes out, we don't want to overload it with too much information and don't want to speculate too much and bore everyone to death. So,
well, you know, we have been relatively consistent with about ish every 2 weeks. And I think that's a pretty good expectation. You know, the best way to find out when we're going to be recording next is via Twitter. And you can follow us there at twitter.com/MossEisleyRadio. And
you can find us on our website as well.
MossEisleyRadio.com. We've got forums going over there. Huge thanks to people who are participating in the forums. I'm slowly getting back into that.
Great. It's almost weird actually having forums that you've got to be active.
Right.
You've created. I
do love it and I really appreciate it.
No, thanks to everyone that is involved with it. And in like the few things I want people to take away from other than just the news that we give and all that other stuff. I would encourage you, if you haven't checked out the website and the forums yet and you think you would like to be a part of the community, I encourage everyone to do that and try it out. And the other thing is, we would really appreciate it if everyone could try to get one or maybe two people that they think might be interested in this game to listen to our podcast.
Absolutely.
And have them let us know what they think. So,
you know. Yeah, we'd really, really, really appreciate that. I have 2 shout-outs that I want to make. First and foremost goes to the team over at DarthHater.com. Those guys have done a fantastic job of covering PAX. And, you know, they basically provided all the clips that we were able to listen to and, you know, keep up to date. At least for me, I was glued to what was going on over the weekend. So I really appreciate that. And I am looking for his name right now, Ben Nighthawk on the forums, who is a firefighter who contacted us and, you know, love your show, all that kind of stuff. Huge shout out to him for contacting us and his whole firefighting team. Really appreciate everything that you do.
Did you see the picture he posted in the forum?
I didn't recognize it. What was that logo?
That symbol is basically the symbol Boba Fett has on his shoulder. So he's got that on his fire helmet. That's
awesome. huge.
If you haven't seen that, go check it out in the forums.
Yeah, it's under the fan art section. So huge shout out to those guys. We really appreciate you listening.
And one other quick shout out while we're doing it, I guess you'd say thanks to everyone that has plugged us, or everyone that has helped promote us or encourage their friends through Twitter or whatever to listen to our program. We really do appreciate it. And I can't thank you enough for helping this take off a lot faster than we anticipated. And
surely.
Yeah, it really is. We've gotten a lot of feedback from people, and, you know, based on our numbers, it's honestly a lot bigger than we expected at this point. So we can't thank everyone enough for just all the stuff they do, the questions you guys send in, the forum activity, all the participation you guys do with the forums and the website, just everything. We can't thank you guys enough, because honestly, without the listeners, without you guys, Brooks and I would just be talking to each other. And,
pretty much.
And it'd be boring.
Absolutely. So I think that's going to top off another episode. again, we'd love for you to come and discuss it with us on the site and in the forums, and we'll let you know.
I gotta go kill my roommates.
Uh-oh.
Figure out why they're making so much noise.
All right. I think we're gonna end on murder. That sounds great to me. So
great.
We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Very inspiring. Take it easy.
Bye.
What the f*** do you want? I'm recording. Hold on. F***ing d***.
God, this is totally you to a T. You're such an
asshole. Claude runs pretty slow.
Need a dispenser here. You ready?
Yeah.
What was that?
Zach.
Yeah.
How can you say you're ready and then you go like across the room?
Well, I think you're gonna take a while. You know, dissing in my own bathroom feels great.
What a classy gentleman. I'm glad this can be part of the show.